Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. The title of today's show, Nature's Color Walk. So how do I get to Nature's Color Walk? So let's backtrack. And yesterday, before I got into the studio, I was at my home and I'm doing some varnishing. See, I have a Southwest home, beautiful Douglas fir, like monstrous garage door made of Douglas fir, very rare. Historic home, front door, same way. You walk in and I have hand-carved columns from New Mexico. And, you know, in my mind, but in just about everyone who comes in, they are stunning. Well, I'm putting up a new hip roof out in the front. That means a tiny little roof. And since it's also Southwest, I need to varnish the pieces of wood that go there. And then there's two small handrails inside next to the hand-carved posts that are also Douglas fir. So it's all Doug fir, as we call it in the industry there. And they all have to be varnished up. So I'm spending the morning in the garage, door open, because I need ventilation. And I'm varnishing up. And, hey, after a while, you know, you're just tired. Hey, remember, I am Joey B. Outdoor Adventure Man, and I am doing an indoor adventure in a garage with varnish. And all I want to do is just get outside. So I'm now done. I probably varnished for, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. And it's time, and I just said, it is, grab the camera, let's go. So I begin to walk on the property, and my eyes, hey, typically they're open to color and nature, but all of a sudden they just like, whoa, you know, hey, the tulips and daffodils, they're dying out at this point, and I have a number of them on the property, but all of a sudden you take a look on it, I have one row, and there's a number of azaleas in it, and you look at them, and they're just starting to open up, and one of them, the red one, is just popping out. It's like, whoa. And like there began my nature walk on my property. And then on the adjoining properties next to me, there's a number of dogwoods. So as you look through my hedgerows and things and onto the next property, and what I love about it is when you've got two dogwoods, one is white, one is pink, and they're next to each other, and those colors tend to blend a little bit. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, this is definitely awesome. I get to the back part of my property and I've got some lilac bushes. It's actually on my neighbor's, you know, property line. And the lilacs, there's only a few blooms there, but they really are nice. Now, here's one thing. The past person who owned that property, I used to cut their lawn. So I built a pathway through the property so my tractor could drive through from one property to the next so I can continue just cutting along. And I noticed one year, a couple years back, that the lilacs really didn't have many flowers on it. So I did a little homework. Hey, doing my research, my botany degrees, is saying, hey, what's going on here? I've got to know. And I found out that they don't like acidic soil. Well, guess what? Where I live, there's 150-year-old oaks everywhere you go, so there's lots of oak leaves. And there were a lot of oak leaves underneath her lilac bushes, which are probably about 20 feet tall, so they're not bushes. They're semi. There's the second part of the canopy coming down. And I asked her, I said, Lynn, do you mind if I actually rake out the leaves and throw a little lime there? And we always use the term as gardeners, you know, lime's going to sweeten the soil. So it's going to lower the pH a little bit in leaves. Oak leaves specifically are acidic. So she said, sure. So that fall, raked them out, limed it down. The next year, those lilacs, they were just like crazy popping out. So needless to say, new owner, and I will chat with them a little bit. Very good couple that's there. And I will chat with them about things that have to be raked out. But that's, you see, many times there's just these little nuances, I'll use a good word, in gardening that you just need to make simple changes, and simple changes sometimes bring big changes. That makes sense. Also, you should know about sun and shade. some of the plants you're seeing, like, going, wow, it's popping out. And I'm talking about the azalea. Well, it's reaching a lot of sun. Some of the other azaleas I have on my property that are in like a semi-shaded area, they haven't even begun to open yet. So as you're planting flowers near your house, and not just perennial flowers, but flowering shrubs, trees, be aware of, do they need lots of sun, little sun? And some can be planted in both, but also understand this. And you can actually sequence color by planting things in sun and shade. And you could see that by the different azaleas I just spoke about. Also in the front of my house, next to my tick seed, and I've got a lot of the scientific name is Coreopsis, and there's a number of varieties. I have an earlier flowering variety, and along the walkway in the front of my home, I've got a number of tick seed there, and there's star flowers, these little white little flowers that just pop up. They actually come out of a bulb. And I took a few photos of that because that was really, really, like, you've got this bright orange and just this, I don't know if bold white is the right color, but it's like bang, and you've got it there. And next to them, there were lily of the valleys. And then as I stick in pictures of some of the lilies and they're flowering, right next to them, there's vinca vine. And vinca has this like iridescent, I'm going to call it purple because I am not the man of describing colors. And I'll just call it like an iridescent blue slash purple with some of the lily of the valleys like mixed into it. And I'm taking pictures of those going, this is like really utterly spectacular. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, as I walk towards the end of my property, getting down toward the street level, and I'm going to give you the name of this plant, and you're going to go, the plant is called the dead purple nettle. And right away when I say dead purple nettle, people go, oh, that's going to be disgusting, and that's got to look. It's got the coolest little flowers, and I'm saying it's on a stem that's maybe about 4 or 5 inches, a larger one would be 5 inches tall. Well, at the base of my driveway near the street level, I've got cactus growing there, Opuntia compressa, which is, what do you call it? Prickly pear cactus. Sometimes I know the genus and species names, and I have to like sort of translate in my own mind and say, okay, what is the common name for it? Also called rabbit ear cactus, so many of you know by that. Well, growing between it, so you got the cactus with all the spines, and they're there. And then all of a sudden, you've got the dead purple nettle growing up between it. So my camera, click, 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 click. And I'm telling you, it's a great look. And you see the dead purple nettle, if you go down and feel the stem, because most people think about stems of plants as being round, it is square. So what does that tell you? It tells you that that plant is in the mint family. If you grow mint at your house and you go down to the base of the stems, you will actually find them square stems, mint family. So I decided, hey, let's just get out and go now. I put the camera back inside. I said, let me just go for a walk. Again, I just needed to expend some energy after I'll stay away from the varnishing stories again. So I said, let me go for a walk. And I walked down the road, and on one person's lawn, it is covered in dandelions, yellow flowers. And many people, see, here's the difference. Many people go, oh, I got to put a lot of weed killer and kill that. And in my mind, I'm going, that's beautiful. You see, you got the backdrop of the green grass and the green plants from the dandelions, and you have these beautiful, beautiful flowers that are there. And if you have a groundhog in the area, watch your groundhog. And your groundhog is a dandelion-aholic. He loves the taste of the yellow flowers. So for those of you that have him on your property, next time he's like munching away on the lawn or wherever he's near, wait till he sees a yellow flower and he gravitates over to it and eats it. So good way of getting there. Now, walking down the road along the hedgerows, I see some fleabane, which is just beginning to climb up. And again, you hear the term fleabane. Well, it's this tiny white flower. It's probably got the shape of a daisy if I was going to describe it somehow. And on the one plant, you might get 20 or 30 of these flowers, and they really are nice. Grow about 2 feet tall. In the sun, you might get them 2.5 feet tall, somewhere around there. So the fleabane's not just there. And a couple of mustard plants. Some are on my property, and then some are along on my walk there. And the same mustard that you would put on your hot dog is made from seed. Well, the wild mustard, Brassica rapida, that's what it is. It's just beautiful, but it's beginning to die out. So that really, it's like one of the earlier flowers that comes out, and it's this bright yellow, is now a fading, it's almost like a greenish yellow. So you've got that piece of it. It just, but also nice. And the mountain pinks now are beginning to fade. So I'll talk about the ones on my property, and then I'll talk about the ones on my nature's walk of color. I've got these, and I'll call them lavender color mountain pinks. And they're beginning to fade out on my property. So they're just like a much lighter color lavender, whatever the color would be called for that. And then on my walk on one of the properties, you could see that they have mountain pinks, which happen to be pink. So mountain pinks, they're beginning to fade, and they're like this really light whitish pinkish color. And the way that I know mountain pinks is growing up family farm, and every Saturday morning we'd be driving up to the farm, and early on a Saturday morning along the road, one of the homes, I guess they didn't want a front lawn, so their whole front lawn were mountain pinks, and I mean they were pink. And when they were flowering, it was like utterly spectacular. I'm saying probably half an acre of mountain pink, and pretty neat, so I do remember that. Now, I talk about all these colors, but the greatest thing is because all the deciduous trees, most of the leaves happen to be green. So you're getting this backdrop of different shades of green. So the Norway maples, they've already popped with most of their leaves, not full grown, but close to it. And they already have this darkish green color. And then you get into the oak family, and the oak family, smaller leaves right now, palish green, green flowers. And so you're looking at that. So if you're looking, for example, you're going down the road or on your property, you're looking at a dogwood, and then you have a Norway maple behind it, the dogwood color pops because of the darker green behind it. So there's just something simple to, you know, think about. And on my property, I've got, again, I have two different varieties. I have wild strawberries, and most of those just happen to end up growing into the lawn. But I also have my organic strawberries, and they are now flowering as well. And the next time you get a chance to take a look into a strawberry patch with all those white flowers, there's such a beauty. So you could line your little walkway with strawberries, enjoy the flowers. And I always say this, enjoy the flowers inside your garden, which many people tend to forget. Specifically, chili peppers have beautiful ones. The garden's not planted yet by no means. But your strawberries, they're popping right now. So you've got that. Now, I'm back onto my property. And on my property, so I go for a long walk, I'll say a couple miles, back on my property. And I need to go get my camera. And before I get my camera, there is, because they're migrating through right now, I see a yellow-throated warbler. And just beautiful color. And I'm going, where is my camera? I don't have it in my hand. And he's in some of the shrubs, and I do some pishing. And remember, I said pishing, not... So pishing is a sound, if you want to call songbirds, because it's funny, when you go psh, 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 and make that noise, many of the songbirds are attracted to it and just want to know what is it, and they will come out and a little closer to you. So the yellow-throated warbler, I did a little psh, 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 and all of a sudden, he came a little closer. Wish I had the camera, but I did not. So I'm just walking through a little bit on the property, and there I start to hear the house wren calling. So I said, I got to walk to the front side of my property because hanging in one of my flowering cherry trees. See, I've had the flowering cherry trees. I have the variety that flowers last. So right now it is, call it mostly, we'll call it half flower, half leaf. The flowers are falling off. But I have a house on there that is the perfect size hole. And just so you know this, if you're hanging in birdhouses, when birds go shopping for a house, they look at the size of the hole. And you can go online, especially, you know, there are many different ways you can build your own houses, real simple to do. Plenty of plans out there. See, the internet is good for many things. Well, the house that I have in the front is the perfect house for house wrens. And when they're calling, what happens is the male will actually go courting a female. And once he's courted the female, he begins to show her, like, you know how you're going house shopping? He begins to show her different houses. And many of them will happen to be the crooks of a tree or something of this nature. And then inside of that, they will build a nest and have their, well, guess what? He's on the branches in the flowering cherry, and he calls, and here comes the female, and he's showing her the house, which to me just like is like one of the, like, nature is so cool. I call it nature's color walk. I could have called it nature's bird walk, and I would have been, matter of fact, that would be the name of another show. I think I'll have to use that one later on down the road. That's a really, really neat one. Now, I go for that walk, and I'm just looking at a few things. For example, the candy tufts in the back. I see I have an organic strawberry patch in the back as well as the front. And the candy tufts have not opened yet. On the border of another property of mine, there's a southern magnolia, because magnolia flowers early in the spring. Well, the southern magnolia is a late bloomer, and those flowers are just about ready to open. The wisteria, not open yet. The wigeria, which is also one of my favorite flowers, not open yet. So you see, I'm going to have another color nature walk as time goes on. So I'd like you to plan your own sequence of color so year to year you can go on your own personal nature's color walk. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.